Please join me in the prayer of illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 783 in your pew Bible or page 218 in the story Bible. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so has been written by the prophet, in Bethlehem of Judea, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means among the rulers." "And you by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called to the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go ahead and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to spend some time with the children who are here in the sanctuary and those who are worshiping from home. If you're here, just come around this way up front because the rail's closed for communion, so you just got to go around a little bit. Got to go this way. And I love we go this way, guys. We're good. And then if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have a few minutes together. Good morning. I'm so glad to see everybody. Hope everybody had a good Christmas and a happy new year. I saw many of you on Christmas Eve dressed up as, we had a lot of angels on Christmas Eve, and we had shepherds and some wise men and girls with crowns on your heads and sheep and other animals. It was wonderful. I'm guessing that at Christmas time, on Christmas Day, maybe you got a present. Did anybody get a present for Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, fun. I got a present too. And I bet many of you gave presents too. Maybe you wrote a note or drew a picture or cooked cookies for somebody, or gave your grandparents big hugs, or maybe you helped wrap gifts for your presents, for your parents. Christmas is a time when we give and receive gifts. And one of the reasons we do that is because of the story we just heard about the Magi. Sometimes we call them wise men or wise ones. These were people who lived a long, long far away from Bethlehem, but they saw a sign in the heavens from God about Jesus being born. And so they traveled a long way, and they brought gifts to give to Jesus. Do you remember what their gifts were? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yes, great. And those were really big gifts to give to Jesus. And then they went back home. And that reminds me that they just came to see Jesus Because they loved him, and they wanted to worship him, and they wanted to give him some gifts. They didn't want anything from him in return. They just wanted to love him. And it reminds me that one of the most important things we can do in our whole lives is to love God with our whole heart. That's what God really wants, I think, is for us to love God. So Pastor Maggie has taught us a prayer. I think some of you have learned it and have done it at home. The first thing we need to do is love God. So you want to lift up your hands and invite all the grown-ups out there. Some of you know it too. Most important thing, first and foremost, always love God. Say that with me, love God. And then love my neighbor. Neighbor, all to my sides. And then love myself. Let's do it one more time. Love God, love my neighbor, love myself. And it all starts with loving God. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and some folks over there that I can't see very well. And the rest of you can go back and sit with parents or friends or grandparents. I love the story of the wise men. I love hearing it on the first Sunday of January because it feels like Christmas is still going on because I love the season of Christmas. And the day of Epiphany, which is tomorrow, the day when we Christian tradition celebrates the visit of the Magi, is the end of the Christmas season. So we have really experienced these 12 days of Christmas. And today we get to hear the story of these mysterious, generous, wonderful wise men. I have so many questions about the wise men. And the truth is, we know very little about them. What David read for us is all we've got. Matthew's the only gospel that mentions them. They appear nowhere else in the historical record. We just know that there were these magi. We're not even sure what a magus was. What were they? That they were from the east, from a land that was beyond Judah. They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. But we don't know how many there were. I know we sing We Three Kings, but we don't know that there were three. There's nothing in there that suggests they were kings. So there's a lot that we don't know. We don't know their names. I want to know why. What was their motivation? To see a star that indicated the king of a people that they lived far away from, why would they invest all of that time and all of that wealth and all of their devotion to this little baby born in a backwater town in Palestine? It's a mystery. So there's a lot that we don't know about these magi, but there are some things that we do know just from the way Matthew tells the story. One of the things we know is that they were stargazers. They kept their eyes on the heavens, and they were always looking for signs from the Creator, signs from the divine to give them guidance. And it's because their eyes were open to the heavens and their hearts were open to the divine that they saw this new star. Maybe it was a comet. Who knows? It was a heavenly body, a new thing in the sky. And they understood what it meant. They were able to discern what it meant, that a baby had been born who would be the king of the Jews. And somehow this baby was a choice of the divine, that God was up to something in this child. And that was enough for them. We know from the story that they were incredibly generous and selfless, that they brought these very expensive gifts to Jesus, wanting nothing in return, that all they wanted to do was see him with their own eyes and to worship him, to pay him homage. There's something else we know about these magi from reading this story. It really struck me this time around reading it for some reason. These men were brave. They had courage. Because we find out at the end of the story that they're willing to defy Herod the Great. to betray him, to disobey his orders, which could have been a life and death situation. That seems even more courageous when we realize who Herod the Great was. This is not the Herod that appears in Jesus' adulthood, in John the Baptist's adulthood. This is Herod the Great. And we have a lot of history about him. The Hebrew historian Josephus wrote a lot about Herod the Great, and there's a lot more about him in the historical record than about the Magi. And most historians believe that he was rather brutal. He was a tyrant. He rose to power, some say, because his father was a friend of Julius Caesar. And so Herod gets in this inner circle of power. And then he gets to rule over part of the land, and eventually he ends up ruling over all of Judea and is given the name the King of the Jews. In order to climb that ladder, he exiled his first wife and their son so that he could marry someone else for political reasons. He later executed. And we know just from the account in Matthew how brutal Herod was. When he finds out what the wise men have done, that they haven't returned to him, he responds with such fear and paranoia and violence that he has all the young boys 2 years and younger in Bethlehem slaughtered. So this is the ruler who's in power when these wise men travel to Jerusalem to worship Jesus. And we have this one little sentence at the end of the story: having been warned in a dream, they went home by another road. What courage did that take? To trust in a dream? To defy Herod? To think about what Herod would do if he caught up with them, if he found them? And yet they chose to follow the voice of God, the voice of the divine. And it is astounding that they took that risk and made that choice of faith. Matthew tells this story early in the gospel, and he continues this theme to build this idea that there is the kingdom of God, which Jesus is revealing, and there is the kingdom of this world, the rulers and principalities of this world. And all along the way, as we follow Jesus through his ministry, people have a choice. You can follow Jesus, you can choose the path of Jesus' love and mercy and compassion, or you can choose the path of the kingdoms of this world. The early Christians in the first and second century had only one creed, and it was one sentence, and that sentence was, Jesus is Lord. Which, to speak out loud as a subject of the Roman Empire, was an act of treason. Because to say Jesus is Lord means that Caesar is not. And so I think about those Magi, and I think about these early Christians and the inspiration that they give to me to be tuned in to the voice of God above all others, to keep my eyes and my heart looking at the heavens, to be watching for signs of God's guidance and God's wisdom and God's love. And that old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, has the phrase, tune my heart to sing thy grace, to get my heart in tune with the frequency of God so that I can discern God's will in the midst of all the other voices vying for my attention. So in this story, in this first installment of our sermon series, we have Magi who were able to discern the voice of God from the voices of power in the world. So what does that look like for us as the people of God? You know, I think of amazing examples like the people who offered safe housing and sanctuary to Jews during World War II, or the civil rights activists who put body and life on the line in order to stand up for justice against laws and systems that said they were not equal. But for many of us in our ordinary lives, we may not have those kinds of heroic moments that we step into. I remember a gentleman who was a member of my church years ago who came to talk to me because there were things his boss was asking him to do, that the company was asking him to do, that he felt were wrong and unethical and went against his faith and his understanding of who Jesus was. And yet he was the only breadwinner in his family. His wife and his kids depended on him. He had the benefits and health insurance, and it was so risky, he thought, to go against what he was being asked to do. I, of course, didn't tell him what to do. It's not my place. But we prayed together, and we committed together to be listening for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in his life. And before I knew it, he came to see me, and he had taken another job and had left that company without ever having compromised what he thought was right, and he got a brand new start, and he knew it was God's will for him. How can we as a congregation together proclaim that Jesus is Lord and walk the path that Jesus leads us down? Always remembering that if Jesus is Lord, then no one else is, and that our allegiance doesn't belong to anyone else but Jesus. How can we engage in those practices of prayer and reading scripture and having holy conversation and being in relationship with folks who are vulnerable to stay close to the leading voice of Jesus? The Magi discerned the voice of God, and they went home by another road. Jesus said the road of following him is a narrow one. It's not always easy. But we walk it together. And there's one who walks in front of us, who is our Lord. And there is no other. Thanks be to God.